Amen. What a day. Amen. Have your Bibles. You can go ahead and be finding Galatians. And then put a finger in James. Galatians and in James. We're back on the fruit of the Spirit on Sunday night. Don't seem like we've had service on Sunday night in a while. But Galatians and Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We'll read out of James in a little while, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, we've already talked about love, we've talked about joy and peace. Tonight we're going to be talking about long-suffering. So Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We are inspecting the fruit in our lives, in our life. And I wonder, as we've been going through the fruits of the Spirit, are you finding any fruit? Remember now, God gives all of us the fruit. He doesn't give some fruit to some Christians and some fruit to other Christians. We get all nine when we get saved. And whether or not you use all nine is between you and God, but we get them all. The Bible teaches when we get saved, we get the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in and lives with us, the Holy Spirit gives us love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and such. So we've talked about love, you remember, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I wonder, does that love describe your life? We talked a little bit about joy and what it is to have joy. And I wonder, do people describe you as a joyful person, or do people describe you as a joyless person? I have to ask myself this question a lot. I believe it's a good question to ask. If you're married, how would you like to be married to yourself? We have to ask that to ourselves sometimes. Are we a joyful person? Are we... Do we show love? Do we have that peace when visitors walk in here to worship with us? Do they sense a joy of worship when they come through the doors? Do they know whether or not you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And let me tell you, I've been in a lot of churches, and you can tell. You can tell when you walk through the doors whether that church loves the Lord, or whether there are joyful people in there or not so joyful people. I've been in both. And we talked a little bit about peace. Do you have peace with God? Have you stopped fighting God and started fellowshipping with God? There's a big difference. Have you stopped warring and started worshiping the Lord? The Bible says that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So my prayers for all of us is that we've experienced that peace with God. Peace with God. But not only peace with God, we talked a little bit about peace of God. You see, they're different. The kind of peace that gives you strength and stability when the storms come our way is the peace of God. And so is the peace of God, excuse me, ruling in your heart tonight, like it should be. The fruit of the Spirit gives us love and joy and peace. But tonight we're gonna look at long suffering. So let's look at that for a little while. It goes from in chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, it talks about the works of the flesh. And I think it's ironic how those two are together. Let me just read what the Bible says beginning in verse 19. I want you to see the difference just that quick. The Bible says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilers, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then just notice how it just goes from the works of the flesh to the fruits of the Spirit. And you'll notice that big change. The Bible says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. So it goes from verse 19 down to verse 22. And you know why I believe that it's such a change? I believe that it is such a contrast from one to another, because that is what the Lord Jesus Christ does for you when you give your life to Him. I mean, he can change you in a moment. You can be a sinner and get down on your knees and pray. I've seen it. I've experienced it. You can get on your knees and pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and confess your sins to Him and ask Him to come in and be a part of your life, and you're changed just in a moment. In a second, when you get up off your knees, the Holy Spirit moves in, and all this other is erased, all this other is forgiven, and the Holy Spirit moves in, and you have the fruits of the Spirit. That's what Jesus does. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. You know what He does? He turns envy into goodness. He turns fornication into self-control. He turns hatred into love, and He turns a outburst of wrath into long-suffering. The Bible says there in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. So let's talk about long-suffering tonight. What in the world is long-suffering? What does that mean? Well, the word Paul uses here that is translated long-suffering is a Greek compound word. The first word means long-lasting, and the second word means anger. So it describes a person who is so full of anger that he's about to blow. You ever seen anybody like that? You ever been around somebody that was just so full of anger that they were about to blow? Well, that's what the Bible is talking about here. Long-suffering. Long-suffering, it means to be long-tempered. I wonder if you're long-tempered. Do you have a short fuse, or do you have a long fuse? Do you have patience, or are you one of those like me that pray for patience but say, Lord, hurry up? You say, Pastor, I'd rather talk about love or joy or peace than to talk about long-suffering. I would too. This hits home to me because I've got a short fuse. I'll just be honest, and I'm working on that. You know that old children's song, God's still working on me? Well, God's still working on me, and guess what? He's still working on you. We never arrive until we get to heaven. As long as we are here on this earth, God is still working on us. That's why it's so important to get into His Word and have a time of devotion and have a time of prayer, because God is still working on us. And I want to be long-suffering. I want to have that fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, but I also want long-suffering. You want to know why? Because we all want to be patient. Man, I'm telling you, we're living in a world where everything's fast. I mean, you get on the interstate and you drive fast, and now they have self-checkouts that's supposed to be fast. We have microwave ovens. Everything's just so fast nowadays, and we need patience. And let me tell you why we need patience. We need patience because you're never more like Jesus than when you are patient. You ever thought about that? You're never more like the Lord Jesus Christ than when you are patient. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because he's the God of patience. That's why. And if you're going to be like him and act like him and show the lost world what it means to know him, then listen, long-suffering must characterize our lives. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, in verse 5 and 6, it says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." Aren't you glad tonight that God was patient with you? I was 27. I don't know how old you were. I was 27 when I gave my heart to Christ. And I'm so glad tonight that he was patient. He could have said, "Well, I've done enough. I'm not going to do any more. I'm not going to be long suffering anymore. I'm just going to let him do his thing." But he didn't. He's a God of patience, and aren't you glad for that tonight? Our God's not only a God of love and a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of peace, but he's a God of long suffering. And I'm glad that I've experienced his patience. It scares me sometimes, to be honest with you, to think about where I might be tonight had it not been for a patient God. Where would I be tonight if it had not been for the long-suffering of God and the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where would I be tonight without the long-suffering of God? Where would you be tonight without the long-suffering of God? Thank God tonight for his long-suffering. It's part of his character, and it's supposed to be part of our character if we're his children. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen, for long-suffering. So that's what long-suffering means. But what does long-suffering produce? I ask you to find the book of James. Flip over a few chapters to the book of James chapter 1. Let me just read verses 3 and 4. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let me explain what long-suffering produces. The Bible says in verse 3 of James chapter 1, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You see that word "perfect" in the King James? It means complete. It means that you're fully grown with the Lord. James says that it's the work of patience to make you complete, to be mature. It's no wonder so many Christians grow old without growing up. You'll never be a full-grown Christian without patience. There's no maturity without patience. Now follow this. Just as there's no maturity without patience, there's no patience without trials, is it? The Bible says, let the testing of your faith produce patience. So if I read the word right and I understand it right, if we never have any trials, we would never know patience. And if we never knew patience, we would never know what maturity is. And long-suffering, one of the fruits of the Spirit, produces maturity. In fact, if you'll flip over to James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Therefore, the patience, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. I love what the Bible says in chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Let's read it together. Go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers which have reaped down your fields, which is of your keep back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lords of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about those who have money that refuse to pay their wages that are due. And the Christian people here at that time were being mistreated. They had worked hard, yet they were not being paid for their labor. And what are we to do when such of that comes about? Are we to retaliate? Are we to return evil for evil? We're to get even with them or hold a grudge. The flesh, remember, the flesh says, yes, that's what we need to do. But James says to be patient, to be patient. One of the fruits of the Spirit. I heard this story about an Indian Cherokee man that was telling his granddaughter about a fight that was going on inside of him. He said it's between two wolves. He was telling his granddaughter this, and he said, one is evil and angry and envy and sorrow and regret and greed and arrogance, and the other one is joy and peace and love and hope and humility and truth and compassion. He was telling his granddaughter this, and the granddaughter said in a little while, well, granddaddy, which wolf wins? And the Indian looked down at his granddaughter and said, the one I feed. Isn't that so true? The one you feed wins. Can I say there's a battle going on in our lives today? Good versus evil. And you know which one will win? The one you feed. Which wolf are you feeding these days? Are you feeding the flesh? If you are, you're going to produce works of the flesh. But if you feed the Spirit, the Spirit will produce Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. And the one that wins is determined by which one you feed. That's so true in life today. You can either respond to the flesh, you can be hateful and have outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions and jealousy and envy and on and on and on and on. Or you can respond with love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And James tells us there, therefore, to be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. And let me remind you tonight that the Lord's coming. He's coming back. And when he comes, he's gonna make every right and every wrong. He's gonna do it all. We think that we have to do it all, and we have to get this back and do this back, but he's gonna do it all. He's gonna settle every account. Therefore, the Bible teaches us as Christians to be patient. So that's what long suffering does. And let me just end by saying where it comes from. And you know where it comes from. Doesn't come from self-effort, does it? Because you know, I don't know if you're like me, but if I see a sign that says stay off the grass, first thing I do is get on the grass. It's just part of our nature, isn't it? If you see a car that says do not touch, you have to spank your little grandchild or spank him on the hand to keep him from touching it. It's just part of who we are. So we know that it doesn't come from self-effort. Long-suffering is not something that you can produce on your own. It only comes from the Holy Spirit of God, which produces the fruit in us. If you go back to Galatians chapter number 22, you will see there that it comes from God. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And remember this now, the sequence is not by accident. Think about how it's wrote there. It's love, then it's joy, and then it's peace, and then it's long-suffering. And you know what long-suffering is, if you think about it? If you have long-suffering, it is a combination of love, joy, and peace. They all go together. Love, joy, and peace produces long-suffering. I love how it's put together. Only God could do that. And long-suffering comes from love, because in the book of Corinthians, the Bible says that love suffereth long. And you know what I've learned? Impatient people are most of the time not loving people. If you're impatient, most of the time you're not a loving person. Doesn't mean that they don't love, but you're not quite a loving person. You know what I'm talking about. Patience comes from love. And it also comes from joy. And the Bible teaches that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the next time you feel like you need a little patience, check your joy level. Go back and check your joy level. Where's your joy come from? Joy comes from what's inside. Not our happenings, but the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. So next time you don't feel like you're producing enough love, check your joy level and see if you need a little patience. Check your joy level. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Do you have time set aside where you can study your Bible and just do business with God? Or are you watching the news and hearing all the bad news and all the grumbling and everything? Sometimes we just need, be honest, just to cut it off and get in God's Word, because that's where the fruit, that's where love and joy and such come from. Patience comes from love. Patience comes from joy. That patience, that long-suffering comes from peace. Impatient people have no peace because their eyes are on the things that are making them impatient rather than Jesus. How many of you have ever been on the interstate and it's backed up bumper to bumper and you get impatient? Our eyes are on what's going on, isn't it? Instead of saying, well, Lord, you might have me stopped here so I won't get in an accident further on down the road. You never know. So Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this: you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Isn't that a great verse? You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord has everlasting strength. So as I close, the fruit of the Spirit only comes by abiding in him. Remember, we talked about this when we first began. In John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5 says this: abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In verse 8, says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." So remember this as I close. Abiding takes bearing, doesn't it? You gotta get with the Lord. Abiding and bearing and abiding and bearing. You can't do it on your own. Without abiding with Christ, there is no bearing. So if we want to produce the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to abide in Christ. I love that old verse that says, "Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you." And I've always said that he can get to you a whole lot quicker than you can get to him. His steps is a whole lot quicker. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Or like the old country preacher said, "Scrooge up to God and God will scrooge back up to you." Isn't that a great feeling to know the closer you get to God, the closer he'll be to you? We're going to sing a hymn and we'll be dismissed. Let me say a prayer. Father, thank you again for this time together. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that we can just get into your word and study it together. And I pray, Lord, that we would all show the fruits of the Spirit that are in us. Lord, we know that we have all of them. We don't just have some. But God, help us just to draw close to you so we will show each and every one of them at all times. Thank you, Lord, that you don't ever give up on us. Thank you for long suffering. And thank you for that old song that's so true that you never, ever quit working on us. And we praise you tonight for that, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.